Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one but two technology experts. But that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when they need to identify the year, make, model of a car or Apple product. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way in the new year. Happy New Year to everyone.
You know what that means, by the way?
What?
This is, I think in about 1 month's time will be our 5-year anniversary of doing this podcast. Isn't that crazy?
That's right. I wrote it down in my reminders because I, you know, we can do something special for it. But yeah, it was Valentine's Day just about 5 years ago. That will be the anniversary. It's crazy.
That's not real. That doesn't live with us on Earth. What, like, how? First of all, we're shit podcasters because we have not grown our audience at all. It is the same people that have been watching this for the past 5 years and not a single new one.
And we love all the people that come by and stick around and hang out. But you're yeah. Right. I thought you were gonna say that the episode number is a lot lower than it should be relative to the amount of time that we've been doing, which I think is also consideration.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Wait a minute. How many weeks? Oh, God. Is this a Siri question? I think it's a Siri question.
It should
question.
Be 250. It's 52 weeks in a year. And if it's been five years, it should be 260 weeks, right?
Although, 52, well, let's get the exact number.
All right.
How many weeks has it been since Valentine's Day 2021?
Do you want me to use ChatGPT to answer that?
Useless. Useless. Okay,
it's fine. Never a Siri question.
Give me ChatGPT. Valentine's. No. Oh, my God. It thought that I was talking. Not you. Oh my God, I'm gonna kill you. This is so unusable. How many weeks ago was Valentine's Day of 2021?
Valentine's Day 2021 was February 14th, 2021.
Uh-huh.
About 251 weeks ago from today, January 4th.
Okay, it's 251. So yeah, you're right. And by the time it reaches February 14th, it'll be, I think you're right, almost exactly 260 weeks. But we're on episode 145.
I mean, look, you know, there's going to be a few weeks out of the year that you're not doing it. Okay, Christmas time, you know, winter holiday time, not really doing it, you know.
Right, what about the other 90 weeks?
Well, look, there's sometimes
that's almost 2 years.
Well, you know, when you put it like that.
Wait a minute. If we have done, because keep in mind, there's something else that I just realized.
Uh-huh.
There might be a couple of weeks that are double counted. Although I don't think we counted in those numbers when we've done a special episode. So it should just be 144 Sundays, 145 Sundays.
Yeah, I think so.
But, so we've missed, wait, that's actually so funny. We've missed 106 weeks. So we've missed more than 2 years out of the 5 years we've been doing this.
Yeah, so maybe we should celebrate our 3-year anniversary at
that
5 years.
That seems more appropriate. I feel, it almost feels like cheating to accept a 5-year anniversary celebration. It's like, oh, wow. It's like if we were married for 5 years, but for 2 straight years, we were cheating on each other. Like, I don't think you get to celebrate 5 years at that point.
Yeah, five happy, loving years of marriage. Yeah, no, I didn't. Look, I knew that we weren't the most regular, you know, in terms of our schedule, but I didn't realize it was that bad.
Well, look, I'll say what every marital issue stricken couple would say, which was that we cherish the time that we have together.
For sure. See, now it sounds like we're ending things. I don't want to end it.
Be honest. There's another podcast, isn't there?
You weren't supposed to find out like this.
I knew it. I knew it. I'm going to slash your tires.
No.
Wait, but then I'm going to have to, then they'll bill me. Crap.
Yeah, they're your tires, buddy.
No. Oh, no. For those wondering, by the way, the reason that Noah says that is because his car is my car. My Lucid lease was up in October, but Noah is still vehicularly homeless. So I passed it along to him.
Yeah. So I have the Lucid now, which means any damage that you do to it will come back to bite you in the end.
So this sucks. Safe. This sucks. All I want to do is slash some tires. Is that so goddamn bad?
You have like 4 cars, right? Just, you know.
Yeah, well, not my tires. That's no fun. Slashing my own tires would just be not enjoyable at all.
All right, how about Sam's cars? I think that would be fine.
Okay, deal. That I can do. In fact, speaking of Sam, one of the things that Sam loves are Apple products, and there's going to be several new ones this year. Did you like that? That was good. That was great. And so I think what we should do is start off this week, or in fact this year, as who knows, this might be the only episode of 2026.
Oh, God, don't say that.
You never know. So when do we think we're going to get our first announcement of the year?
That's interesting. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk about the Max, and I have a certain lens that I want to discuss it through, and I genuinely want to get your opinion on some things. But
is
I let's talk about the first.
Lens? Can you put it in a Maverick sentence?
Yeah, sort of. One could say it probably has some banned words in it, but you know,
it's along
the right path. All right, here's so let's talk about that first because I think that's an interesting question. I mean, there's typically times in the year there's like a March event, right?
Right.
And I think that's typically the first time in the year that we get an announcement, right? Would be like a March or spring event.
Could be. And there's a lot on the list for a March event this year. I'll say that.
Yeah. And so I think one of the things on that list is maybe some new Macs. I think maybe there is going to be a MacBook Air refresh in there as well. It was one of them. So
should be.
I want to ask you this question, or sort of the lens that I want to approach this discussion from. Obviously, we'll talk about things that aren't Macs, but when we are talking about the Macs, my question is, we've talked about on the show before that I got a MacBook Air, M4 mm-hmm. MacBook Air, base model, so it has 256 gigs of storage, which is a little bit rough. It's like pretty much full at this point, and I do not have a lot of stuff on it, so... I have that computer. I love it. I love how small and portable it is. It's great. I paid $750 plus tax for it because it had that great sale that, you know, we've talked about. I know you talked about it in one of your videos. Mm-hmm. So that's the computer that I have. Now, because of the time that I bought it and the winter season, holiday, whatever, I got it on Amazon. And their return policy is I can keep it until January 15th. So I have like a week or... I don't know, like a week and a half to decide if I'm going to keep it or not. And I really like that computer, but there's a lot of interesting things, a lot of interesting Macs in the pipeline for this year. Mm. Could be something as simple as the March event, where I'm hoping that they will increase the base storage and, you know, maybe some other spec increases, all the way to discussion of the new MacBook Pro with a touchscreen. And that's supposed to be significantly thinner and lighter than the current models of MacBook Pro. And mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, spoil too much ahead of time, but just to say that everything is on the table for me. But my genuine question is, do I keep this MacBook Air that I just got, or do I return it and wait for one of the new things that's coming this year? And if I do that, which one am I waiting for? So that's sort of the lens that I want to consider while we're talking about all of this.
That's a good lens. So let me start with the storage thing that you brought up, because I'm actually working on a video that will hopefully come out this week. Just like a little quick fun video, because this is a topic I've been thinking about as we've seen – AI cause some pretty major disruptions in the DRAM market. And that's having some knock-on effects. Obviously, we've heard that RAM prices are through the roof. They're mm-hmm. up nearly five times since October, which is Jeez. Nuts. Like, well, actually, here's a good point, because you haven't built a PC in a while and you're not necessarily following along with these things as closely as I am. How much do you recall 64 gigabytes of RAM costing? What do you think that would go for? Not now, factoring in the inflation, but right. like if you recall what it might have cost.
64. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I would guess it was on the order of like a few hundred dollars. Like, I'm trying to remember. I think my gaming PC that we built in like 2016, that I think might have only had 8 gigs of RAM, or maybe it was 16. And right. I don't think I paid more than 100 for that. So 64, I'm guessing it was a few hundred, but I'm honestly not too sure.
So let me pull up there's a, ooh, I actually, I already have this pulled up from that video. Ha ha ha. Well, the average price for 64 gigabytes was, you're right, it was hovering around $200. But if we go, let me pull up we'll go to Newegg here, and I'll show you what it costs now. It's, dude, this is getting out of hand. So 64 gigs, I would say that's definitely a lot of RAM. You probably don't need that much for like a PC build. But at $200, I think that's what it's been for a while. Take a look at the price now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's $900.
That's how much I spent on my entire PC in 2016. It was like $900 plus, you know, Windows. It was like $1,000.
Yeah. No, that's right. I remember that. That's...
Jeez.
And dude, look at these. This is all of the different combinations of RAM. Look at that. DDR4 3600 went from under $100 in March. It was like $80. And now it's touching $300. And that's 32 gigs of DDR4. That's like not even a reasonable amount of RAM. And it's not even current memory. Like, what the hell, dude? Here's a DDR5. Let's get more. Here we go. Dude, this is unreal. $120 would get you 32 gigs of DDR5-6. Now it's $450.
That's crazy.
Bro. And the problem that we're seeing now is that has these knock-on effects. So if we go to, let's see, they surely have, here we go, storage. Boom, let's do 1 terabyte M.2 NVMe. That's going up as well, because of course there's a DRAM cache on every SSD. So it's not as bad, right? We've gone from about $100 to 160, but I mean, my God, this is like ridiculous. This is like COVID level price increases that we're starting to see. More in the case of memory, and completely preventably, right? This isn't a part shortage. This isn't supply and demand, or at least organic supply and demand. This is literally just companies saying, screw you, there's more money in AI, and that's where we're going to go. That's what it is.
Ugh, that's so, I mean, we've talked at length on the show about AI and our thoughts on it, but like, I don't know, for a while it was like, you know, I don't think either of us are really fans of AI, at least in general, at least the generative AI stuff that's going on, the ChatGPT, image generation, whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, I guess at first it was kind of annoying. Then it becomes hard to ignore, where there's like all this, you know, fake stuff going around on the internet and whatever. But like, yeah, now it's affecting the prices of computer parts. Like that's, you know, that's like another level.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. AI has the worst PR of any technology in human history because even look, I'm not going to go out here and say all AI is dumb. I use AI tools in Photoshop all the time. It makes a lot of tedious tasks that you would do manually in Photoshop literally instantaneous. So I like it there. I've used AI overviews in search. I've used AI to find links to basically do Google searches more quickly by finding resources and stuff like that. I think AI is here to stay. But the scale that it's at is not sustainable. And to your earlier point, Noah, when it comes to the Mac storage, Apple so far has been completely isolated from the DRAM shortage because they've been ripping us off all along. How about that? Mm-hmm. They don't have to raise their prices because they're already sky high. So I don't think that we're going to see price increases from Apple, but the effect that I talk about in my video that I do think we are going to see is I don't think we're going to get 512 gigs as standard because
really
SSD prices are up by 50%. The only thing that might allow that to happen is that Apple's SSDs don't have DRAM. I don't think, because they use the SoC for all of the control circuits. So their SSDs are just NAND chips. And as far as I'm aware, I don't think those have gone up dramatically in price. So they might be able to get away with this, which would be sick. But we'll see. We'll see. Point being, previously it would have been like, it's a sure thing. They're going to increase the storage. Now I'm kind of like, ooh, they might not. And in that sense, right, it wouldn't be, oh, Apple's increasing their price because we would just not have known. Like, we'll never know if they were going to or not going to do that, depending on what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't increase the storage because of that.
That's unfortunate. I feel like, you know, this MacBook Air, my only real complaint about it, honestly, is the storage space. And, like, right now it's okay, yeah. But, you know, it's a 256 gig model. You lose a little bit of that to, you know, formatting and the file system structure. And then I think I have around 20 to 30 gigs of free space on there. And I have some development tools, some IDEs and I guess like, you know, app like support files for iOS and whatever take up a lot of space. But it's just like a bunch of development tools. And then I think I have maybe like 3 or 4 movies downloaded in the TV app. And I think that's pretty much it. And I'm like, and my thing is, it's fine for now. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm completely out of storage. Like, I've always had at least, you know, 20, 30 gigs. But I feel like I barely have anything on there. It's not like I have a bunch of junk that I can move off into the cloud or into an external hard drive. I barely have anything on there, and I'm already pushing up against that limit. And I just feel like I don't want to be micromanaging all of my files and programs just to like try to fit onto a tiny drive. But also the idea of paying an extra $200 for like, you know, just to get an extra 256 gigs of storage to go from 256 to 512. Like, I don't know. I don't really like, I was just kind of hoping that they would increase the base storage, and then I wouldn't have to like, yeah, even make that decision, you know?
I mean, they still could. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying that if it doesn't happen, I would maybe not be surprised. But in your particular case, I guess the question comes down to, do you want to wait for the M5 MacBook Air? Because we were talking about March event. I think it's pretty likely that that's going to be... if not at that event, then maybe even before it, because it's just a spec bump. They only need a press release for it. I think it's a guarantee that we're going to get an M5 MacBook Air update within the next, you know, 2-3 months.
Well, I'm curious from your opinion. Let's say, from your perspective, let's say that they don't do the storage increase.
Okay.
Is the only other difference we're expecting is just a chip swap? Is there any other that just a chip swap?
Yeah, I think the MacBook Air is going to be chip swapped for a while, because we're hearing there's some information starting to come out about like an OLED MacBook Air, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be pretty sick, but I it would probably be sometime next year or 2028. So I think we're going to have, yeah, honestly, and now that I say it, I think it's probably going to be, because like think about the MacBook Pro, right? It was redesigned in the fall of 2021. The MacBook Air got that design in Dub, so 7-8 months later of 2022. So if we're expecting this new generation of MacBook Pro in this fall, October, I would think probably middle of 2027 would be the earliest time that you can expect more from a MacBook Air. So basically, I think you have two choices. Mm-hmm. One, because I think you probably do want more storage, and I think it's worth it to get more storage.
Yeah.
So one, return your 256 and buy a like refurbished or restored 512. I found one on Walmart for $850. Okay. So I guess that's an extra $100 instead of $200.
Okay.
Fair enough. And that's M4, 16 gigs, you know, same as you have effectively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the other option would be to just return it at the latest possible window and wait and see what the M5 comes with, because one can assume that if the deals are already this good on the M4, the M5 coming out would just make the deals better. So theoretically you could just, you know, wait a couple months and then buy a 512 back.
That's true. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, there was a question in the chat, like, what would I do if I return the laptop? I do have a MacBook Pro, which is what I'm using right now for the stream. So I do have two Macs right now, which is, you know, chump change to you, but but two computers is more than I'm used to. So I have really enjoyed it. I will say, like, I keep my MacBook Air. I mainly got the MacBook Air for travel. It was really nice. I took it on an international trip, I guess last month, and then I took it, you know, when I came to surprise you. And it's really, really nice for traveling. It's you know, so much. It's so small and light that it's great for that. And like, I'm going on another trip at the end of the month, and if I return it and I wait, then I'm going to have to take my MacBook Pro on that trip, which is fine, but I do value it. But I will say, like, you know, I keep the MacBook Air downstairs and I keep the MacBook Pro in my room. That's what I've been doing. And I've been using the MacBook Air a lot, and the smaller screen size doesn't bother me. But every time I sit down in front of the 16-inch MacBook Pro and I look at that screen, you know, the quality of the screen aside, and the ProMotion, everything aside, just the fact that it's a 16-inch display, when I look at that big display, I'm like, wow, this is really nice to have all of this extra space. And so maybe this almost segues into the rumors for the end of the year about the new MacBook Pro, but like, that could also be on the table. That could be another option that I would consider.
I think it should be, because I was going to say, the other issue that you're going to have, as this person pointed out, if you do wait for the M5, you're going to pay retail for it. Or, you know, usually within a couple of weeks, you can find it for like $100 off, but you'll be paying over $1,000 for that computer. So perhaps the move would be, take that deal, that $850 for the 512 on like a refurb, use that computer, keep your dual setup going now. But by the end of the year, I do think we're going to see, I mean, it seems crazy to say now because we haven't even gotten the M5 spec bump, but I do think we're going to get an M6 MacBook Pro at the end of the year. And so, or maybe they're just not going to do an M5 at all. I don't know. Maybe they just totally sit it out. We'll find out. But this redesigned MacBook Pro with an OLED display, you could get a 14-inch. And it's also going to be thinner and lighter. That's a big thing that we've been hearing.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking is like, could a MacBook Pro be a middle device? Because I like the MacBook Air, the 13-inch Air that I got, because it's the opposite of the 16-inch Pro that I have. It's so much thinner and lighter and smaller that it's great. But I do wonder, you know, especially because the rumor is that the new MacBook Pros at the end of the year are supposed to be significantly thinner and lighter than the current ones. And so they're not MacBook Air levels of thinness and lightness, but they are noticeably thinner and lighter. And so I wonder if, you know, to your point, maybe a 14-inch, which is still smaller than the 16-inch, but a little bit bigger than the 13-inch, and the fact that it will be thinner and lighter than the current version is now, like maybe that will satisfy sort of both ends of the spectrum at the same time.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like, I mean, I've fully have switched. I used to be, I mean, obviously I have all the MacBooks. Right, you know, it's my job. I gotta have different processors and stuff to test. There was a while where I basically only used the 15-inch MacBook Air, but since they gave us the nano texture on the MacBook Pro, I have never ever been more locked in to a single device than I am to the 14-inch nano texture MacBook Pro. I think that thing is the sweet spot. You get enough display to be usable for all situations, but it's also a compact enough laptop that I can travel with it and not hesitate. It's got ProMotion, it's got the nano texture, so it's, you can use it in bright settings. That is, I think, the ultimate MacBook. Now, I do have it with a Max chip, and that's the only thing that I don't support. I think the Max chips, like, honestly, and I would not have said this 5 years ago when the M1 Pro came out, I think they're unnecessary, especially the M4 Max, because the Pro is so good. So I fully anticipate that when the new generation of MacBook comes out, I will probably be getting a silver M, whatever number we're on, Pro 14-inch with the OLED and the thinner design. Oh my God, that is going to be the perfect laptop in the world.
Yeah, it seems really nice. And I feel like, yeah, part of me is, I'm thinking, you know, if I get this MacBook Air, if I keep the one that I have, or if I wait and get a new one. And to be clear, if I wait for, I'm already happy with the M4 chip in that computer. I've done quite a bit of the programming that I regularly do, which is not that intense, but I have my IDE, I have my simulators open, I have, you know, web browser, bunch of tabs. So it's not nothing, but I've never had any issues with the performance. It's been fantastic. So if I were to upgrade, if I were to return it and wait for, you know, the refresh, I would really just be doing it for the increased storage space, not for the performance. The performance is nice, but I'm already happy with the performance. But I feel like if I do that, whether I keep this one that I bought already or I return it and wait, I feel like in the fall when this new MacBook Pro comes out and it's so sleek and new, and especially if it has a touch screen, which I don't even know why I would want a touchscreen on a Mac, but like, I'm sure Apple will make me feel like I want it. Like,
oh, I'm sure they'll find a way.
like when this thing comes out, I'm gonna be like, damn, that thing is so cool. I want one of those. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't get it, but I would definitely feel more, I don't know if guilty is the right word, but I would feel like, oh, I just got like this MacBook Air recently. Like, do I really need to also get a new MacBook Pro? And you know, it would be harder of a decision to justify, harder to justify for me.
I mean, a bunch of people have pointed out, what about a 15-inch MacBook Air? Or is the entire purpose to be as small as possible?
I really like the small. I will say, like, this last, like, when I went to, I guess both of these trips that I did, when I went to LA and then my international trip before that, I used to, when I would travel, I always check a bag. I like to check a bag. But I used to always bring a backpack and a laptop bag. I guess the laptop bag would be my personal item and the backpack was my carry-on. So I never had like a big carry-on because I would always check a bag. But I would have to bring two bags because I would put my personal laptop, the 16-inch MacBook Pro, in the laptop bag. And I would put my 13-inch MacBook Air, my work laptop. It's a M3 13-inch MacBook Air. I would put my work laptop in my backpack with, you know, a few other electronics and stuff. And that was sort of my setup. But on these last two trips, I actually only took my backpack. I didn't take a personal item. I just took my backpack, and I was able to put both my personal laptop, which is now a MacBook Air, and my work laptop, which is a MacBook Air, and all my other electronics, my headphones and my Switch and whatever, all of that into a single backpack. And I, you know, I check a bag and I have a backpack, and that's it. No carry-on, no nothing else. And it was really nice to just have the one bag and not have this like laptop bag dangling off my neck. And so, not to say that a 15-inch is going to be so unwieldy that I couldn't do that anymore, because I probably still could. But I really like how tiny and portable the 13-inch is. So that would definitely be a consideration. Not to mention the $200 price increase in the screen.
I think the more that I think what I'm hearing here is that ultimately I think you should get the redesigned 14-inch MacBook Pro. I think that is the closest to a one size fits all that you're going to find. Because the thing is, I like your current strategy is the bookend, right? Because for traveling, you like how small and thin and light the MacBook Air is. So you want the smallest possible one. Mm-hmm. But when you're at home, you like the biggest and best display. That's the 16-inch Pro. So you kind of right now get the superlatives of both of those things. So it kind of comes down to, do you want to keep that dual device superlative? Or, if we're being honest, you're going to be tempted by the redesigned MacBook Pro because it's going to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe keep the door open to finding a Goldilocks device. Because it seems like what there currently is probably not a Goldilocks. It seems like, I don't know that the trade-off of the current 14-inch is right for you. Because the screen isn't big enough to give you that wow, and the device isn't small enough to give you that wow. So I think a 14-inch MacBook Pro OLED would have enough of a screen difference to make you look at your 13-inch and go, and it would have enough of a lightness to make you look at your 16-inch and go,
Yeah, I definitely do feel like I would appreciate the new 14-inch. Like the current 14-inch, I think, is just a bit thick and heavy for what I'm looking for. I think it's a great screen size, not to mention the fact that the bezels are smaller on the MacBook Pros, so you get more screen real estate.
It's nice.
So like that, like, for sure, I think the 14-inch would be really, really nice. But the current one, to your point, is it's a little bit thick and heavy. And all right, I'll let you talk. You gotta
I thought about something else.
Okay.
If you want small and light, we're forgetting there's going to be a whole new MacBook this year.
I was thinking about that, the cheap MacBook.
Because that's going to be... Now, I don't know that that's... That computer is an interesting one because it'll depend on how they frame it and how cheap it is. Because right now, the fact that you can get a 512 gig MacBook Air with a full M4 chip for $850, that means for this new MacBook to be compelling, it needs to be significantly thinner and lighter with a really cool design. It needs to have storage prices that aren't unreasonable. Like if they start that thing with 8 gigs of RAM, well, it's probably only going to have 8 gigs of RAM because it's using an iPhone chip. It's going to be like I think they were saying it's an A15 Pro or an A16 Pro. Or was it an A17 Pro? I think it was a 17 Pro. Either way, it's going to be 8 gigs of RAM because it's an iPhone chip. So do they start it? And if they start it with 128, dead in the water. Straight up, it that'll kill the product. If they start it with, A18, there we go, that's what it was. So either way, eight gigs of RAM. If they start it with 256 and they charge $100 for the update, for the upgrade to 512, okay, maybe. But then it comes down to what's the price point? We've heard anywhere from $599 to $899. So if it's $599, 256, $799, 512, and it's really, really ultra, ultra thin and ultra, ultra portable, hey, that might be your new go on the go computer.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was something, and it really is going to come down to the price, like you said, because we've heard, a large range, like you said. And my thought when I think about that is I'm just thinking, you know, I paid $750 for my MacBook Air that I have right now. And I'm like, I feel like if, I don't know, from the rumors that we've heard, the MacBook, this new hypothetical that we're talking about, really is going to be like a significant, it's going to be lacking some things that the MacBook Air has for sure. In order to be cheaper than the Air, it's going to be lacking some things. And my thought is if I could pay $750, I'm saying that right. It was $750, right? That was the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. $750. If I paid $750 for that MacBook Air, and like, let's say that the new MacBook starts at $600. So it's $150 cheaper. But if it has 8 gigs of RAM and 256, or even if it has 128, I don't think they could do 128. You couldn't like put anything on that computer.
Yeah, they better not. They might.
I don't know.
This is Apple. You never know. They might be a bunch of scoundrels. But if they do, I'll be pissed.
Unless they find a way to shrink macOS way down, which if they can shrink macOS down to iOS size, you know, iOS 128 gigs is perfectly fine.
But even then, they don't really sell those anymore. It's hard to find a 128 gig iOS device at this point.
That's true. But yeah, the point is, and I guess like macOS itself is bigger, but also a lot of the programs are, you know, take up more space. So 128 would be, I think it would be mostly unusable aside from maybe being like a Chromebook. But I don't know. Just my thought is like, if I save $150, but it's significantly worse than the MacBook Air, is it really worth it? But then to your point, if it's even thinner and lighter than the MacBook Air, that could be seen as a gain. And I guess as long as it can still do the things that I need it to do, even if it is significantly less powerful, it only really matters if it's going to hold me back or not. And if it's not going to hold me back and it is thinner and lighter, then like, maybe it is worth it at that point. I don't know.
Could be. Oh man, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of options for you this year. I mean, to be honest, if you want the easiest solution, it's return your M4, spend the extra $100 to get it with 512, and then just wait until the new gen MacBook Pro. And who knows, maybe by then you'll have decided, hey, this MacBook Air, I'll keep it, I'll still use it, I'll replace the 16-inch MacBook Pro, and maybe you just get the base model. You know, there's certainly no need to spec them out anymore. I think that has been the greatest feature of Apple Silicon, is that these computers are getting so fast so quickly that there's not a ton of need to upgrade them. It, certainly in terms of like RAM and performance. I think the Max chip at this point is really just best suited for a Mac Studio. That's where it's a better value. It's too expensive in the MacBook Pro and unnecessary. So instead of spending $4,000 on a well-specced MacBook Pro, I think you can totally get away with just like, I mean, I don't know. Here, let me pull up the current configurator. Obviously, you know, you should not go out and buy an M4 MacBook right now. That would be foolish. But if we're looking at the base model here, so 2500 with the M4 Pro, admittedly, it's the full Pro chip. I wouldn't bother with the RAM upgrade, 24 to 48 for $400, no thanks. I'd slap a 1 terabyte on it and call it a day, 2700. And I think you're done.
Yeah, and I guess that's the 16-inch, so I would maybe consider the 14-inch. But, like, yeah, I'm, you know, with the MacBook Air, it has 16 gigs of memory, and I'm fine with that. Like, 24 is great. I'll take more if, you know, if that's what it is. But 16, I'm fine with 16. I think 1 terabyte, I agree with you, is because even my MacBook Pro, the you know, one that I've had for 5 years is or 4 years or whatever. That one's 1 terabyte and it's mostly full. And I know there's some junk on here that I could clean up, but you know, if it were half as big, that would be a lot more annoying. So
yeah,
I completely agree. Base model, Pro chip, base unified memory, maybe go up to 1 terabyte. I think that's pretty reasonable, but I wouldn't upgrade anything else. And so it would definitely be cheaper than, you know, what I paid for this specced out MacBook Pro that I have right now.
And by the way, I have a theory that the MacBook Pro is going to start with 1 terabyte with this new redesign. I think they're going to increase the price, and then kind of bury some of that increase in starting it at 1 terabyte. So instead of starting at $24.99, I think it'll probably be $25.99, but you get 1 terabyte. That would be my guess. I hope it's not any more than that, because that would be a little tough to swallow. I'm talking about a 16-inch here, by the way. The 14-inch, I guess it starts at $19.99 with the Pro chip. So maybe $21.99 with 1 terabyte and a bin chip. I'd take that trade-off. I would do that for sure. I think it's worth, you know, it's basically like $100 more expensive, but you get the more storage and obviously, you know, new design, OLED, all that stuff. I don't know. They might honestly make it more expensive than that. I don't really know how this is going to fall, especially with the RAM shortage. They're obviously fine for that now because they charge so much for their upgrades, but who knows? Who knows how expensive RAM is going to cost by the time they're actually building these computers? That's the fun part about technology in 2026. Ha ha!
Oh, geez. Yeah, I mean, hopefully something will improve by then, but even still, there's obviously lead time on this, so it's, you know, they're going to be making these things a while before they announce them and they actually come out. So we'll have to see what the pricing looks like. But I agree. I think 1 terabyte is should be the standard, and I could see them doing, you know, like they've done with the iPhones before. They make the base price more expensive, they try to justify it with the increased storage. It's a MacBook Pro, you know, it's the Pro machine. I think it's not unreasonable to have it start with 1 terabyte, and I feel like if I'm gonna get the terabyte anyways, then I don't care as much if it's an upgrade that I select or if the computer costs more and it comes as part of that cost. It's the same difference.
Now, here's a crazy idea. What if you went absolutely balls to the wall, all right? Right now, you're in the bookend. You've got the largest and the smallest.
Yes.
But theoretically, in 1 year's time, there will be both a new largest and a new smallest. So what if you were to wait, buy the new budget MacBook at, you know, we're hearing 13 inches, so it's going to be smaller than the current. I think the current MacBook Air is 13.6 diagonally. So I would bet that this will be like 13 exactly, or 13.1, 0.2. Little bit smaller frame, thinner, lighter, cheaper. Could get one of those as your travel laptop. And then you want that big screen. You like that big screen. You look at a big screen, you go, I like this big screen. Buy a 16-inch with the new design and OLED. And you maintain what you have now, which is the best of both worlds. But both worlds are even better.
That's it. See, I think the thing that I'm kind of taking away from this discussion is I do think that I should return the MacBook Air. I don't know what I'm going to do after that, but I think that the MacBook Air, it's great. I've loved having it. I've used it a lot, and I've taken it on two trips, and I've loved having it on those two trips. It's a great computer, but there's so much excitement on the horizon this year. There's so many interesting possibilities that I feel like if I kind of lock myself into last year's model, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm like, I'm in a position that I could decide to keep that MacBook Air and then I could still get another computer. I'm very fortunate to be in a good position, but I don't want to do that. Well, so that's going to be my next question, but the thing that I'll say for now is just that I feel like I don't want to necessarily lock myself into last year's computer when there are so many interesting. I mean, there's literally three things on the horizon. There's the new the slight upgrade to the MacBook Air with potentially hopefully more base storage, which is safe but nice. The new MacBook, which is really intriguing, and the new MacBook Pro, which is also very intriguing. And so there's like these three things that are all interesting to me, and they're actually kind of spread out throughout the year. There's one early in the year, one maybe in the middle, and then one towards the end. So it's like throughout the year, there's, you know, interesting things happening. And so I feel like I should just return it so that I don't lock myself into last year's Mac and I have the opportunity to consider all of these exciting new products that are coming out. But then my question that you kind of alluded to is, let's say I keep this MacBook that I paid $750 plus tax for, and then let's say maybe we can take different times, or we can just say at some point during the year I decide to get a different computer. Maybe it's the new Air, maybe it's the new MacBook, maybe it's the new Pro, and I want to sell my current one. How much do you think I would be able to get for it?
For which is this, the Pro or the Air? Sorry.
Let's say for the Air.
Okay. Well, honestly, I think the Air can only go down so much because it's yeah. $850 for a 512. I guess the closest thing that we could do would be to look at the M3 MacBook Air 512 gigabyte 13 inch on eBay. I'll go ahead and stream this just so that you can see. No one else. Everybody else, close your eyes. Only Noah is allowed to look. And then we'll do sold items, and we'll see what people are actually getting.
Do you want $256 for this one?
Are you talking about the current one, or if you bought a 512?
Oh, I would say if I guess. Well, that's an interesting question. I was gonna say if I kept the one that I have right now and then sold it later, but I guess I could also get a refurb and then sell the refurb.
Yeah, I mean that would be the, you know, that would be a way to get more usable storage right away. But it looks like, I mean, look, here's a 16512 that sold for $700. You know, that was today. Here's one, that's a 15. Here's a 16256 for $600. So, I mean, I think realistically, you're probably going to get I don't see it going below 600. And if you're paying 850, I don't know. It'll maybe cost you $200. I don't think it's anything really substantial.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, that's another thing to consider, because the other thought is, like, I don't have to sell it immediately either. Like, if there's yeah. another computer that comes out that I like, I could get that computer, and then later on I could sell this MacBook Air, and I would still, you know, it would go down a little bit more than it did with time, but, like, not that much more.
Man, these 16s have taken a beating, though. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Look at these prices. $1,600. That's your spec, I'm pretty sure, right?
I think I have a higher GPU.
I thought. Oh yeah. Wait. Wait. No.
Actually, wait. Maybe not.
I think 32 core. Gigs of...
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. That is my spec.
Yeah, the M1 Max. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was 24 or 32. So the 32 is the higher, I think. So yeah, you've got, wow. Yeah, these have really taken a pummeling in value. Oh my gosh. But hey, look, I still think you should get. This is not a cost-effective route, but the route that provides you the most happiness is return your M4, buy a 512 for $850, wait until the budget MacBook comes out, sell your MacBook Air and buy that, at which point I don't think that's going to cost you more than like $200 to swap that out, because the budget MacBook is going to be, let's call it 800 with 512, and you're going to sell yours for $650 probably. Because keep in mind at that point, I don't think the MacBook Air, we're talking about a couple months here. It's not going to go down a ton. Yeah. So you're going to spend $150 switching out your M4 MacBook Air for that new budget, even smaller, lighter one. And then later in the year, you're going to sell your 16-inch and buy the new 16-inch. And that way you get everything. You have it all. You have the small, light, plenty of storage now. You have smaller, even lighter, and the newest model with a new design that apparently it looks pretty cool when that comes out, right on time. And then you also get the OLED and the touchscreen because your other computer is pretty cheap. And you're not going to have to max out the new one. You're going to sell your current computer for $1,000 and you're going to buy a new one for $2,700.
That is pretty compelling.
And you might even have a customer here. Your mom is saying, sell it to dad. So when the new budget MacBook comes out, he'll buy it off you.
Honestly, because right now he has my 2018 MacBook Pro that I gave him.
Oh, still?
I don't know how much he actually uses it, but that's the computer that I gave him, that's his personal computer. It's the 2018, was it 15-inch MacBook Pro with the Intel?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Ooh. Well, yeah, screw that. So there you go. You're helping out your old man as well. I think you got to do it. Look, this is one of the few things in this world that you are willing to spend money on, or that you even care to spend money on, because quite frankly, you're a frugal guy. I've seen your apartment. Your lamps were $10 at IKEA.
Yeah, they're great.
And like one of the few areas that you actually care about spending money and notice the benefits of spending it is on a computer. So why not get yourself what you want? It's fine.
It's fine. No, you are right. I think this was a very helpful discussion. I think this was a good lens because we did touch on all of the Macs that are rumored to come out this year.
Yeah,
which is great. So we did our job, but at the same time, I feel like I got some good advice here. I'm very excited for this year. There's a lot of interesting, exciting new Macs. I guess we didn't talk about too much of the other stuff that we're expecting, but at the very least, there's some exciting new Macs coming out that I'm really looking forward to. And yeah, it's going to be a fun year. More fun than last year. I'll say that much.
Yeah, last year was boring. And also, dude, so I think honestly the next 24 months, which will probably contain about 12 episodes of this podcast, they're going to be kind of bangers. I'm not even going to lie. Because, I mean, we've got 5 minutes here. Let me just run you down the list of what we've been hearing about and what we can expect. And I'll start with the present, okay? So I'm going to go in order from this year to next. And forgive me if I forget anything because I did not write this down. And I'm just going off the dome. But we're going to get M5 MacBook Air, a new Apple TV, new AirTag, a new budget MacBook Pro, iPad refreshes that nobody really cares about. Although an iPad, the iPad mini is supposed to get OLED. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to get M5 Pro and Max MacBook Pros. We've also heard rumor that there could be an iMac Pro with a Max chip coming out as well. Oh. If Apple decides to remember that the iMac is a product line that exists, which they seem to have forgotten about for the past 5 years. Don't worry about that. Then we're also getting the iPhone 18, 18 Pro, the new an Air 2 coming out next year. Redesigned MacBook Pro. We're also hearing about the iPhone Fold. There's also a rumor that they're going to tease the augmented reality glasses. Apparently, Gurman says that we're going to be hearing that about that this year in fall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that sometime next year, probably like late 2027, is where we'll get, you know, Apple Vision Glass or whatever the hell they're going to call that thing. So, my goodness, that is a stacked lineup. Oh, and then there's an OLED MacBook Air. Toss that in the mix as well. So, yeah, the next 2 years, I think, potentially are going to be absolute bangers.
That is very exciting. Yeah, I mean, especially the past few years. Oh, and then you got their new studio display.
Oh, and there's a new Pro Display XDR apparently coming as well. I mean, my God, things are going off the rocker after last year where everyone was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, this is, after last year and even the past few years, I mean, not that there hasn't been anything exciting, but there hasn't been nearly this level. And I feel like Apple used to be a lot more exciting. Maybe that's just nostalgia or perspective, like whatever it is. But I feel like Apple did used to be more exciting, and they used to do more and have more like new interesting products. And it seems like hopefully for the next year or two that we're going to kind of get back to that. And I'm really, you know what, like if I had this MacBook Air and I'm like, and I bought this thing and I'm like, well, this thing is great. And, you know, there's not really much going on. Like, I guess I'll just stick with this. You know, it's fine. But, like, it's kind of exciting to be in this conundrum where it's like there's so many interesting new things coming out soon that I have to really think about, do I want to keep this Mac or not? It's like a good problem to have in a way because it means that there's there's exciting things happening.
There's so much going on. It's hard to know what you even want to buy.
Exactly, but that's why we have the Dark Mode podcast to give you expert advice from technology experts to help you make those decisions.
Yeah, and in fact, we even started by making your decision.
Yeah, we actually did give some advice today, which is we're starting off the new year right. This is great.
It's kind of funny that the first time that we've given real advice in a while and we're giving it to each other.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll take it. That's one of the perks of being a co-host is I can commandeer the show and use it to answer my own, as long as they're related, you know, vaguely related at least. I can, you know, commandeer the show to get that question answered. It's great.
Look, Dark Mode loves just a little bit of corruption. We're allowed to have a little corruption as a treat.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's, we had a nice discussion today. I think,
I agree.
I don't think it was too bad.
No, I think it was helpful. And like you mentioned, we touched on all of the different MacBooks coming out this year. So I'm sure people are in the same boat. I saw a lot of people talking about upgrading from M1 MacBook Airs. I think, honestly, my closing thoughts for this evening are I cannot wait to see this budget MacBook, because if, in fact, it does get a new design, which is what we've been hearing, and it's not just going to be some stupid, like, you know, iPhone SE type thing where they just take the existing MacBook Air, make the bezels 15 miles wide and put an iPhone chip in it. I'm sat for this thing.
No, I'm excited. If they can somehow make it even thinner and lighter than the MacBook Air, I think you're going to start to get to iPhone Air levels of impressive. Where, not that it's going to be as thin as an iPhone Air necessarily, but just like, when you're holding like a laptop, something that's that big, and it's like that thin and light, like I'm hoping that we kind of get to that point. And I'm also hoping, I think there are rumors about like more saturated colors, which would be really nice, because as much as I like the sky blue, it's barely blue. And if there was like a deep blue or a deep green or a deep red or something, and a really cool design and whatever, I would probably honestly overlook the specs not being as good, as long as they're good enough, and just really enjoy having such a cool little device. So I'm excited. That and the MacBook Pro are the things that I'm the most excited for coming up.
Yeah, no, dude, the MacBook Pro has me, I'm like a rabid wild animal. I'm foaming at the mouth for that, because honestly, it's weird, because I still feel like the new, quote unquote, new generation of MacBook Pro still seems current to me, but I think honestly what really pushed me over the edge is the MacBook, is the iPhone Air. That has got me fiending for the thinness again. I feel like when Johnny Ive left in 2019, we were all kind of sick and tired of all the sacrifices we had to make to get these thin devices. And especially on the MacBook Pro, we were just kind of like, please, they're so loud and they overheat, and these Intel chips, I just want a big beefy boy that does everything. And that's what they gave us, and I'm forever grateful for it. But now that we've had the big beefy boy and we know how efficient these chips are, I'm like, I want it all now. Now it's been enough time that I feel that we deserve a thin, sexy boy that's also a fast, beefy boy.
No, I agree. And I feel like Johnny Ive and a lot of those super thin products were kind of ahead of their time. I mean, the 12-inch MacBook was absolutely ahead of its time. That basically defined all the way up to the current generation. It did so many things that like we take for granted now. But like, it was not a very good computer because it was ahead of its time and the hardware just wasn't right for it. But like, now that we have these Apple Silicon chips that are super efficient in terms of battery and heat and everything, like now the hardware has caught up and we're finally in a place where we don't need to be super beefy. And so now I do want to see the thinness come back. I love it in the Air. I want to see it in the Mac and MacBooks and more portable products.
Yeah. And the thing is, we know it's going to work. Like the 12-inch MacBook was, in order to get it that thin, they needed these special chips and they had to design the terraced battery cells and they had to do the first fanless Mac and like all of this stuff. And that drove the price up and it was more expensive than a MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. So you were like, you were paying more money to get a objectively less usable computer. That was just, that's what it was. That's where technology was 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. Oh God, I don't like that. But I'll tell you though, nowadays, we already know how this story goes, because you can get an M4 chip in an iPad Pro that's like 6 millimeters thick. So, and that's with the screen on it. So we know that this MacBook can be just ridiculously thin and not have any problem, because keep in mind that iPad is an M chip. This is going to be an iPhone chip. We've seen a less powerful chip in this tiny phone. So yeah, it's a cakewalk to basically remake the 12-inch MacBook Air, but with a actually usable processor, even thinner design, actually usable battery life, and a bigger screen. Because the 12-inch MacBook had those giant bezels and a 12-inch... Like, dude, I'm telling you, this is going to be not only the successor to the 12-inch MacBook in terms of being so impossibly thin and light and portable, but because Apple Silicon, it's also cheaper than every other MacBook. Are you kidding me? This thing is going to be a success, I guarantee. And somebody's here saying, oh, it's going to be a flop like the iPhone Air. It'll be too low spec for too much. Here's the deal. If it's a MacBook and it's less than a MacBook Air, it will sell 100%. Because I guarantee you, most people that buy a MacBook go to the Apple store, they see what the cheapest one is, and they say, oh, I'll have that one. That's it. So if there's one that's less, people are just going to buy that by default.
Yeah, and I also feel like, you know, unlike the iPhone, there's a huge market for, like, education, for example. Imagine these MacBooks in schools where, you know, yep. that's going to be more than enough performance for, you know, what students are doing in schools. But, like, I mean, imagine this thing in schools and in some workplaces, especially places where the cloud is, like, you know, a lot of stuff happens in the cloud. Like,
yeah,
these things are, like... Unlike the iPhone, where you're buying these, you know, everyone has, you know, personal phone, maybe you have a work phone, but, like, it's just a phone. Like, there's so many other markets for laptops where these MacBooks would do great. So there's, to your point, plenty of people that just want the cheapest one and will be more than happy because they just do web browsing and some pretty basic things on there, and they'll be great. There's all these education and other markets that will love it. Like, there's so much more of a market for a MacBook, cheaper MacBook than for an iPhone Air. So I do think that it is different in that way.
Yeah. But you know what's not different in that way?
What?
How not thin and light this transition to ending the episode is.
That was a pretty thick and heavy transition, to be sure.
Yeah, I'll say so. But hey, you know what? Much like the new budget MacBook Air, it works.
Good, nice, good one.
And much like my review video for that budget MacBook Air, I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next time and have a great night and a great start to your year.
Good night.